Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, today we move from 1 Corinthians 12 into chapter 13, which in many ways, I think, is the best-known chapter in all of the 1 Corinthian epistle, and to some people, perhaps, the best-known chapter in all the New Testament. It is the chapter on love, the entire chapter given to the subject of love. It is a beautiful chapter. Some would say it's one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible, that is, in regard to its writing style. It certainly is exalted prose, and one of the greatest and strongest and deepest things that Paul ever wrote, according to some commentators. It is often read. I remember as a teenager hearing it read in school, public school meetings of one kind and another, something that would never be done today, but that would not have been unusual back in the 60s, when I graduated from high school in 1966. However, I have also noticed that many times when it is often read without considering the context, and many times it is read because of the beauty of the language and because of the sentiment surrounding the subject of love that is highlighted in this chapter, but seldom do I find it carefully explained so that people understand what really is being said about love. So many times what I'm saying is it seems to just be an exaltation of the concept of love without really considering what that concept involves and what the Bible instructs us regarding love. But at any rate, it is a wonderful chapter, and we hope to be able to look at it a little more closely than some people do. But don't forget that it is also found in the middle of this larger section on spiritual gifts, which takes up all of chapters 12, 13, and 14. And what chapter 13, the chapter on love, is doing is showing us what Paul calls a more excellent way. We'll get to that in a moment. So we're not talking about, and this we must understand, when we talk about a more excellent way, Paul is not talking about love being a more excellent way than spiritual gifts, but he's telling us that love is necessary for the proper exercise and effective use of spiritual gifts. For without love, even the greatest spiritual gifts are worthless. That is the point of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So that's where we're going on this Monday, April 4. We thank you for joining us, and thank you for financially helping us teach God's Word on this station. Well, let's take a look at the chapter as a whole. We have in verses 1 and 3 what we might call the necessity of love. Without love, eloquence becomes discordant. Without love, spiritual gifts become ineffective. Without love, even self-sacrifice becomes unprofitable. That's a surprising one that we'll look at a little bit later. So the necessity of love, verses 1, 2, and 3. A description of love, verses 4 through 7. And here we have an extended description of what biblical love looks like. And it's not the emotional thing that many people think it is, and so we'll see that when we get to that in the proper time. And then finally, in the concluding verses of the chapter, verses 8 through 13, and by the way, it is a very short chapter, just 13 verses, but the final verses of the chapter talk about the permanence of love. So there's where we're going, and we'll start at the beginning, the necessity of love. And the Apostle Paul, speaking by the Spirit of God, says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass, or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." The necessity of love. Without love, nothing else really matters. Without nothing else is really effective in its operation and exercise. So verse 1 tells us, without love, eloquence becomes discordant. In other words, mere noise. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or clanging cymbal." Tongues of men and angels. The tongues of men, of course, are human languages. That's very clear. When it comes to the spiritual gift of tongues, where it was first in operation in the Bible is in Acts chapter 2. And there, disciples of Christ, there were 120 of them at that time, who were gathered together in the upper room on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, they were enabled to speak languages which were not their native languages and most of which they had never studied. And it's not even clear that they understood what they were saying, but what they said was understood by people who were there from all over the world. And they commented, these other people from around the world commented on this amazing thing to hear people who were Jews and mostly Galileans, but some Judeans, but for the most part had never traveled outside their own country. And to hear them speaking clearly the wonderful works of God in all the different languages that are listed in Acts chapter 2. And Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men," that is with the languages of men, all different kinds of human languages, "and have not love, I am become sounding brass or clanging cymbal." But he also mentions the tongues of angels, and this is a little more difficult. And the question is, what are the tongues of angels? The tongues of men, we know what they are. They are Arabic and go through all those different languages that you find in Acts chapter 2. Maybe it would be beneficial for me to flip back there quickly and read the passage I referred to a moment ago, because some people just don't seem to have understood what Acts chapter 2 is saying. But here's what it says. "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.' So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?'" So that is the tongues of men, the languages of men, all the many different languages of men. How many are there? Thousands, actually. Only a small number of those were spoken on the day of Pentecost, but if I speak with the tongues of men, human languages, but Paul goes on to say, and of angels. Now, what is that? Some have included that that is the language that angels use in heaven. They think the tongues of angels refer to a heavenly language, or perhaps, if there's more than one, heavenly languages. Now, I can't imagine, and we really don't know, what language is used in heaven. I'd be surprised if there's more than one. Why? Well, why do we have more than one on earth? Because of sin. God confounded the languages of people because of their sinful rebellion against him when they were building the Tower of Babel. So the multiplicity of human languages is not an ideal condition. It was not the condition that God originally designed. It is part of the judgment of God upon this world because of sin. So why would there be a multiplicity of languages in heaven? I can't see any possibility of that being true. Certainly, I can't see any reason for that to be true, and I can't really imagine any possibility that that could be true. So, we'll rule out the plural, the tongues of angels couldn't be languages, plural, heavenly languages, plural, but could it be a heavenly language? Well, I'm quite convinced that Paul is just speaking in what we call hyperbole. That is, he is exaggerating for the purpose of creating an effect. He's saying, if I speak with languages beyond the greatest known degree, if it were possible for anybody on earth to speak all of the languages on earth, if I could do that and have not love, I'd be a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. And if I could even add to that, if I could go beyond that, if I could speak languages beyond the total of all the languages spoken on earth, which would make me an incredible linguist, wouldn't it? But if I have not love, I become sounding brass and clanging cymbal. Sounding brass and clanging cymbals, gongs, and loud noise. These were instruments that were common in pagan worship, and they were designed to make a lot of noise. That was the whole point. Clang, 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 bang, 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 noise, 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 for the sake of making noise. And that is associated with pagan worship, not with the worship of God, though, of course, with the worship of God, we do have percussion instruments. There are cymbals and so forth, high-sounding cymbals. So it's not that these are totally and completely out of place, but not for the purpose of making lots of noise, certainly not for the purpose of making noise that drowns everything else out so that you can't really understand what's going on. You're just creating an effect. And Paul says, that's what it's like if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I speak with the tongues, if I'm able to speak human languages, miraculously, the spiritual gift of tongues, but I don't have love, it's just so much noise. It's just a clang. It's just a gong. It's just an overpowering noise that drowns everything out, but actually accomplishes nothing that's beneficial. That's how important love is. Eloquence becomes disconcordant without love. And we'll have to go on from there on the broadcast tomorrow. Please join me. Until then, this is Greg Markman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace. Amen.